Despite a royal commission into Aboriginal deaths in custody over 25 years ago, numbers have only increased across all states and territories in Australia. In a sweeping three-year study, a team of law students from the University of Queensland have analysed over 500 custody inquest findings, detailing specifics of each case, from cause of death to coronial recommendation. Now live, the online database is open to the general public in hopes of promoting awareness of the long-standing issues in desperate need of reform. I spoke to Professor Tamara Walsh from the University of Queensland. The Deaths in Custody database has lifted the curtain on the legal proceedings of hundreds of custody inquest findings over a 25-year period. The idea was born during a coffee date between collaborators Professor Tamara Walsh from the School of Law at the University of Queensland and Debbie Kilroy, CEO of human rights organisation Sisters Inside. The pair had spent all day in court representing Aboriginal people charged with minor offences.
It just occurred to us on that particular day that nothing had changed and that everything that the Royal Commission discussed when it came to the overrepresentation of Aboriginal people in our criminal justice system was just very real to us. When you're in court representing people in these hopeless situations, you realise that the more people who are traumatised and very depressed and very anxious and hopeless and often quite unwell, the more people that fit that description that you put in institutions, the more deaths you are going to get. And so deaths in custody seem inevitable when you put such terribly traumatised people in institutions and take away their hope and take away their connections to family and to communities. Once we started, we realised that this was a really big job, and a project that we thought might be 6 to 12 months has ended up being nearly 3 years, because what we found is that the number of deaths that are occurring in custody is massive, and the number of publicly available inquest findings also huge.
Angeline Counter, one of the law students on the team, was just one of many to donate hours of their time finding, reading and analysing findings over the three-year period for no academic credit or reward.
It's been a really harrowing experience, an experience which has definitely shaped my view of my law degree and my career. As we got into it more and more, we just knew how hard it was. And once we started, we just said, we just have to finish this and no one else is doing this. We just knew that someone had to do it. I just always made time for it because it was really important.
The findings brought to light hundreds of coronial recommendations over the years, with only very few implemented. Rob Little, CEO at the National Congress of Australia's First Peoples, says coroners exercise a limited sphere of influence.
I think the database is extremely helpful. Coroners are reporting often take time, and often there isn't an embracing of those recommendations and implementation of those recommendations, so they sit idle. And the coroner really doesn't have any influence on authorities or governments to take action. So there's a whole range of things within those 300 plus recommendations that has not been fully implemented.
A consistent view raised by coroners is that imprisonment should be avoided wherever possible, but numbers of Indigenous people in jail over the 25-year period has only grown. Tamara Walsh says not enough has been done to keep Aboriginal people out of the criminal system.
I think the interesting thing with regard to Aboriginal deaths in custody, and as I say, we have a limited data set, we don't have the full sample, but what our findings would suggest is that the number of Aboriginal deaths in custody is still on par with the number of Aboriginal people in custody. So it appears from our data that Aboriginal people are not more likely to die in custody, but they are much more likely to be in custody in the first place. The most shocking thing about our findings are that the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody made over 300 recommendations, and yet when we read through them, we don't see a lot of evidence about particularly trying to keep Aboriginal people out of custody in the first place. And certainly our research in other areas and in other projects makes it very clear to us that there are very few attempts being made to keep Aboriginal people out of the criminal justice system. The rates of criminalisation of Aboriginal people continue to remain extremely high, particularly for very minor criminal offences like public nuisance, like obstruct police, your classic offences that that people who are often on the streets and often marginalised tend to be charged with. Really, if we keep people out of the criminal justice system in the first place, the necessary result will be that we keep them out of our correctional institutions. And necessarily, that will result in a reduction in deaths in custody. But really, my view is that the problem lies before people enter a custodial environment. Really, many of these people just should not have been in prison or in a watch house to begin with. Many of them required treatment instead.
Tamara Walsh and her team are planning to conduct an analysis of the findings. Meanwhile, she is hopeful the database will grow public knowledge.
I think if people could be confronted with the information that we have seen about the kinds of people who find themselves in police or corrections custody situations, the circumstances under which that occurs, the conditions in the facilities that people are held, the lack of contact with people on the outside, the lack of contact with family, the loneliness that causes, the lack of medical care in some situations, the lack of mental health care in many situations. I think if the community were aware of all of those things, then possibly there would be more drive for reform.
Professor Tamara Walsh from the University of Queensland ending that report.